The FDA and CDC have recommended that states temporarily stop giving the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine after six people developed a rare blood clotting disease. The Wisconsin Health Department has followed the federal government's advice and will pause giving those shots until a federal review of the vaccine determines its safety. Also, Michigan is seeing a big spike in COVID cases. We're looking at why our neighbor state is seeing another wave of COVID and whether Wisconsin might be in store for a surge as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you scheduled to get one of these Johnson & Johnson shots? How do you feel now that you won't be able to, at least for now? Would you still want to get it if you were able to? And with rising numbers in Michigan and elsewhere, are you worried that people are not taking safety precautions for COVID? Call it at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ajay Sethi is Associate Professor of Population Health Sciences at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Ajay, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. It's nice to be here.
Let's talk about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine news. It's being described as an abundance of caution of six people with this rare blood clot issue. Lots and lots of people have had this vaccine, though. Can you talk about this decision to put this temporary pause on that particular vaccine?
Yeah, it was done, as you said, out of an abundance of caution. Six women were developing these blood clots, and it was within a week or two after receiving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And as you know, when the AstraZeneca vaccine that's used widely in Europe, there were also cases of these blood clots occurring in people, exceptionally rare. But they also paused vaccination there. And I think that might have also led the CDC to do that, to make a proper review of the cases and to see if they have something in common, if something can be uncovered, and if a link can be made. And it may not be, but we'll find out soon.
Well, I'll talk personally here. I was scheduled to get that very vaccine in a couple of days. And me looking at the risks, I would have still gone ahead and done it, having heard this information, looking at the rarity of these cases, the benefits of the vaccine. At the same time, I feel a little reassured that that any possible side effect, serious side effect that hadn't been in there in the testing is being taken really seriously by somebody and that there's this sort of transparency. Can you talk about that balancing act on a decision like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't want there to be rumors of a vaccine side effect that, you know, isn't true. And the best way to address that is to stay ahead of the narrative. And that's what the CDC is doing, is to do a proper investigation to find out if these six cases, you know, in some way have some commonality between them that can explain why these clots occurred. It's exceptionally rare. I mean, six cases out of 6.8 million people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And that kind of rate is similar to the rate that people experience blood clots in the community in general without vaccination. But nevertheless, it's important to investigate that and see if there's a possible link. And we'll find out.
And looking at how this is going to impact wider vaccination efforts, we've been ramping up as a nation, as a state, pretty quickly with our mix of three different vaccines. How big a problem is it for that ramp up if one of these is off the table for, I don't know, a few days or a week?
Well, you know, we were entering a period, or we are going to be entering a period, where we were going to see a dip in the available vaccines made by Johnson & Johnson. So because of manufacturing issues, everybody was anticipating this. And the Biden administration stated that there's plenty of Moderna and Pfizer vaccines available to sort of continue the momentum that the country has had for vaccination at 3 million a day. So it shouldn't have an impact. If anything, it's a good thing that this investigation will take place and we can see what's going on.
We're talking to UW-Madison epidemiologist Ajay Sethi about some of the latest COVID-19 news, the news today of a pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and then the news we originally called you about, Ajay, about some states, including our neighbors in Michigan, seeing big increases in their COVID-19 positive test numbers, hospitalizations, and weathering. Is it going to happen next year in Wisconsin? What are you looking at when you see these numbers from states like Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, what's happening in Michigan is quite alarming. The surge in cases is reaching the peak that they had, that a lot of states had back in November. We're also seeing a rise in hospitalizations that's following that as expected, particularly among younger individuals because they're less likely to be vaccinated. And deaths are starting to creep up as well. And so they are sort of leading the surge in the United States. Just a handful of states are doing that. And Michigan is right there in front.
And part of the story here is this variant that looks like maybe now the dominant variant of COVID-19 in the United States. This is the B117, I think. Can you talk about this variant and why it's accelerating our problems right now?
Yeah, so it's called B117, so that's right, or also the UK variant. And it's been in the United States for a little while. It's more infectious than sort of your garden variety coronaviruses. And because it's more infectious, it more efficiently spreads from one person to the other. And as a result, it's sort of becoming the dominant strain in the US, particularly in the states that are now seeing these surges. And basically every state has this B117 variant. So we should all be concerned about having a surge as a result.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Kelsey is with us in Madison. Kelsey, hi.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm on multiple medications, both for birth control and also for rheumatoid arthritis. And coincidentally, almost all of those medications have a much higher risk for blood clotting. So I guess I'm wondering why the FDA would shut down vaccine, administration over a much lower risk in blood clotting. Is that because the studies didn't disclose that information, didn't find it, or is it just because all of the public anxiety over vaccine safety lately?
Kelsey, thanks for that call. And I've seen that Ajay say that exact same point being made, that there are medications regularly used on the market now that raise maybe even higher risks of blood clotting. Why does the vaccine get this different treatment?
Well, again, we want to make sure that the vaccine is safe for everybody. And if there is an opportunity to recommend a different vaccine for someone, who has a higher risk for these clots, then you'd want to be able to study that. And that's important. The pause also allows for healthcare professionals around the country to recognize also that if they happen to have one of these exceptionally rare cases where a patient develops these clots, to not treat with blood thinners or heparin, because in the case of these six women, one of them had died, and one is in, I believe, in critical care because they had received heparin, and that's something you don't want to do for this kind of clot. And so this pause is also a chance to just educate healthcare providers across the country as to how to handle these exceptionally rare cases. But I agree, they are rare, and other medications, including birth control, can also cause clotting as well.
Kelsey, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Steve joins us next in New Glarus. Steve, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Steve?
Well, I just wanted to let you know I was getting into my vehicle this morning on my way to go to the Madison VA hospital. I was scheduled to get a shot for the virus, and as I got into my vehicle, I got a phone call from the VA nurse at the hospital telling me that they're no longer giving the shots at the Veterans Hospital. They have some questions about people who are having problems with blood clots from getting the shot. And so I didn't question that. I was glad that somebody called to let me know that it could be dangerous.
Steve, thanks for the call. I'm sorry about that roller coaster. Sounds like he was scheduled to get that Johnson and Johnson shot. Ajay, I'm glad they saved him the ride. But the message to take home here isn't necessarily that this shot is particularly dangerous. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's still considered exceptionally safe. It's just that when you have a situation related to a vaccine or any kind of product that's being used widely, if there is going to be some side effect that's not been previously documented, you want to do the appropriate review so that we understand if there needs to be recommendations made moving forward. Because it's exceptionally rare, I imagine that if there is indeed a link, we'll probably resume using the vaccine, but be able to tell the story of why some people may experience these clots that are, you know, one in several million.
Steve, thanks for calling in, and good luck to you getting maybe one of the other ones as soon as possible. We are talking to Ajay Sethi, Associate Professor of Population Health Sciences at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest COVID-19 news, including surges in Michigan and other states when it comes to the numbers, and this Johnson & Johnson vaccine news, a temporary pause while they review some cases of, as we heard, very rare of blood clots. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry that people are not taking precautions now, maybe the way they once were with masks, with being careful about distancing? Have you been vaccinated yet yourself? Are you looking forward to it? Are you one of the people who, like Steve and like me, who had that appointment canceled this week? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk about the latest COVID news with UW-Madison epidemiologist Ajay Sethi. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you hearing from relatives in states like Michigan, like mine, about rising case numbers? Are you worried that people aren't taking this seriously? Do you have questions about the vaccines, the news about the pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? And did you have an appointment that turned to disappointment to get that Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Share your story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Rusk County. Mike, hi.
Well, first of all, because you asked, I had it just before it was a thing. I've always tested negative, and I got both shots. Actually, the most dangerous thing you do is drive to the clinic. I got the question I got is, do you think that the lawyering profession is just salivating over the possibilities once this is finally over?
Oh, as far as liability, Ajay, is that something you follow? Concerns about lawsuits related to the rare side effects from vaccines? I know for previous vaccines, there's been a compensation system on that off chance that people have reactions. I don't know if that's happening with the COVID vaccines.
No, there is that system to compensate individuals who experience adverse events. I'm not to say anything against lawyers, but, you know, I think there's always, people are always looking for an opportunity to provide that service. So I don't know about salivating, but sure.
Thanks for the call. We heard from Michelle, who emailed, "I'm very upset and think it's completely ridiculous that they've stopped the usage of the vaccine." She goes on, "I would absolutely still get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine if I could. It took me hours to get the appointment. Now I have to start all over." So a lot of people in this boat, Ajay, we've heard from a couple of them already. Do you worry that that's going to slow down the vaccination effort just as people like Michelle have to start from scratch to get their appointments?
It is inconvenient, certainly. If you had an appointment like yourself and others, you know, Steve earlier, you know, it's inconvenient to have that appointment canceled and to look for another appointment. But some vaccinators are able to provide a different vaccine. And I know that on our campus, that was the case for some people who had appointments today with, for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So the key thing is not to lose hope. This is a pause versus a shutdown of the vaccine. And the ACIP, the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, is meeting tomorrow with the CDC to discuss the safety data. And within a couple of days, we will know whether or not the vaccine will resume rollout or if it'll continue that pause. And so I think it's likely not going to be pulled off the market entirely.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Ajay Sethi, Associate Professor of Population Health Sciences at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest COVID-19 news. As you just heard, questions about the vaccines and what this pause for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine means. As we have this surge in cases in states like Michigan and some others, concerns about what's going on here in Wisconsin. I want to look at that a little more now. Ajay, I know public health officials, a lot of leaders really trying to get that public health message out there to not abandon our health safety measures right now. Don't give up those masks. Don't take those risky gatherings, especially for the unvaccinated. Can you talk about the message that people are trying to send as we try to get the vaccinations up and keep the cases down?
Yeah, that's right. I think what's happening in Michigan can certainly happen here in Wisconsin. We're doing really well in terms of immunizing relative to other states, but no state, including ours, has immunized enough to be able to prevent outbreaks. And so we are vulnerable. And if you have any kind of setting where a lot of unvaccinated people are together, and if one person has either any of the varieties of coronavirus, but particularly this B.1.1.7 variant that's more infectious, we can expect transmission and clusters, and the state certainly is investigating lots of clusters around. You know, we've been seeing this sort of increase for the last couple of weeks, and I think we're all on the edge of our seats to see if we can experience a surge too, and hopefully not.
We heard from Saul via email asking about the new variant becoming more virulent to young people. Saul writes, I heard that a half of hospitalized COVID victims in Brazil, for example, are under the age of 40. Is that true? If so, that's not good news with the variant now established in the U.S. So this new variant, we know more transmissible. Does it seem more dangerous to the individual who gets it, especially as Saul is saying to that person under 40?
So I'll say in Brazil, there's the P1 variant.
That is the one there that Saul had asked about, by mistake. Yeah,
and so P1 is in the United States, but it's not dominating like the B117 is. And the B117, there was studies published just on Monday in The Lancet showing that that this virus is not more deadly. It is more infectious, but not more virulent. There was an earlier report out of the UK that implicated that. It was unclear that these studies can be very difficult to rule out other factors that drive any of these observations. But the study published on Monday seems to show that this is not a virus that's more deadly. And other studies are showing that the vaccines work very well against them.
And we also heard from Jacob in Madison, who couldn't stay on the line, but was asking, is there an association between the recent rise in cases and spring break? Ajay, are we able to pinpoint the rise in numbers to any particular kinds of reopenings or events like a spring break or things like that?
I mean, travel is always associated with the spread of this virus around the country. And so spring break and other forms of travel are associated with cases that are spreading in Wisconsin. It's not necessarily the only reason. There are clusters that are being investigated in schools and other settings, youth sports, for example, where you have a lot of unvaccinated people, in this case, children, who gather.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jamie is with us in Springfield Corners. Jamie, hi.
Hello. I got my first dose of the vaccine just yesterday, and one of the things that did kind of surprise me, at least it kind of frightened me, was that there are these nanoparticle lipids that are added to the doses. And I understand their what their purpose is, to be able to allow the messenger RNA to be able to go into the cells easier. But my question is, what types of side effects have we seen with these nanoparticles? And what types of possible side effects could we see?
Thanks for the call. Ajay, would that be just in the general side effect profile we've seen of the vaccine as a whole, or is there something in particular about these lipid nanoparticles our caller's talking about?
Yeah, that's right. They're just basically tiny lipids, little fat droplets that allow for the RNA to be packaged. By putting it inside sort of a nanolipid, particle, you're giving a person a delivery system that the body won't develop an immune response to. So it kind of does it under a cloak, if you will, to deliver the RNA to cells in the muscle. And as far as I know, the vaccine has been exceptionally safe. All of them have so far, and so there should not be any reactions to that.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Ajay, right now, we've got plenty of demand for the supply for the vaccines that are out there. But there's concern at some point that, you know, we're going to have a big supply and now trying to reach the people who are, for whatever reason, reluctant to get the vaccines. What kind of public health efforts do you see out there and do you see being needed to reach out to people who are hesitant right now?
Yeah, public health, community groups, lots of different agencies are getting into neighborhoods to talk to people about the vaccine, the benefits of vaccination, and to answer questions and to allay any fears about the vaccine. Some people just also need some time to make that decision. And so if somebody was previously reluctant to get it and then later on did get it, that's a success. And so it's just maybe it does sometimes take time and have some conversations with people to make sure they understand what they're getting. And there's nothing wrong with anybody always wanting their questions answered before having any kind of medical intervention like a vaccine or a treatment.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Ajay, what are you watching for next in the progress of this disease and the vaccine effort against it?
Well, it is a race against the variants, as people say. I would say it's also a race against COVID fatigue. Everybody wants to return to normal. I'm hoping here in Wisconsin, we don't see a surge like we are seeing in Michigan and elsewhere. And the best way to do that is to mitigate.
Ajay, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Ajay Sethi is Associate Professor of Population Health Sciences at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us for a look at the latest COVID-19 news.